Well, good evening. If you would care to open your Bibles to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Thank God for His Word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great God, our holy, sovereign, and merciful Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank You that You've given us yet one more opportunity to meet together, to hear Your Word open to us, to hear Your Word preached, to hear the gospel of Christ our Savior preached one more time. Father, how thankful we are. How thankful we are for Your mercy and grace to this congregation, this people over so many, many, many years. How many years You have kept and preserved Your gospel here in our town. And Father, we're thankful. We beg of Thee that You'd not allow us to take this blessed privilege for granted, but that You cause us tonight to seek You as a hungry, thirsty sinner. Let us hear the gospel preached as a needy sinner, not as a know-it-all, not as someone who's heard this before, but as a hungry, thirsty, needy sinner. Let us hear one more time the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let His name be exalted and magnified. And fathers, I pray that You give us a hearing ear and a believing heart. I beg of Thee that You, in this hour, would not leave me alone. Don't let Your people just hear the words and thoughts of a man, but Father, uphold me with Thy Spirit. Speak to my heart and open my mouth that I might declare the gospel, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in clear and simple terms, and cause us to believe, to rest, to find our joy and peace and comfort in Christ our Savior. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for all of Your people who are meeting together tonight, Father. Bless Your word. Bless Your word everywhere Your people are meeting together for Your namesake and then for the good of Your people. Father, we dare not sin against Thee in forgetting to pray for those who are in very difficult times of trial and trouble. Father, we pray You'd meet their need, that You'd comfort their hearts, that You'd heal their bodies, that You'd be with them in a special way. We're so thankful that You brought our brother Cecil back to worship with us, and pray Your continued blessing and hand be upon him. And Father, we pray for our country, our world at this time, that You would, we don't even know what to ask, Father, but that you would move in power, that You would reveal to us Your glory, that You would give us some relief from this pandemic and the unrest that's sweeping the land. And Father, Thy will be done. And we do pray that You might open up a way that Your people might live peaceably, quiet, and being able to continue to meet together and worship Your matchless name. All these things we ask in that great name that's above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God inside which flows, me of sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These poor sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in
outstanding. Thank you, Isaac. All right, Psalm 124. I titled our message tonight, A Prayer for Deliverance. Now, this is another one of the Psalms of Degrees. These are the Psalms, you'll remember, that the travelers would sing as they traveled up to Jerusalem for the annual feasts. These Psalms keep going up and up and up and up in glory as we travel along. But here's something that travelers in David's day, when he was writing these Psalms, that they would have to seriously think about before they took a journey like this. They had to think about their safety during the journey. They could be robbed and beaten and killed by roving criminals just almost at any time. You know, their roadways would not nearly be as secure or well patrolled, you know, by police as our roads are today. So this Psalm is a prayer for deliverance and safety as they made this journey up to Jerusalem. And we can make this our prayer. We're not traveling to Jerusalem, but we're traveling home, aren't we? As we travel through this world below on our way home, this will be our prayer of deliverance. And our prayer for deliverance is broken up into three parts. The first part is asking the Lord for deliverance. Verse 1, Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Now we pray that the Lord would deliver us. Anytime we find ourselves in difficulty, we pray that the Lord would deliver us. And we pray to the Lord because we know He's the only one who can deliver us. He's the only one who's able. He's our only hope. You know, we only ask the Lord for things that we can't do ourselves. Isn't that right? Wasn't that everything? That's everything. We can't do anything for ourselves. But certainly, we know we can't. There's no way we can deliver ourselves from the different dangers, toils, and snares that the Lord sends our way. And David says here, he's praying to be delivered from the wrath of men, of man. I want to give you three ways we need to be delivered from the wrath of man. Number one is this. We need to be delivered from the wrath of man that would destroy God's church if it were possible. Now, David says, if it was not for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would rise up against us and they'd swallow us up. And you'll notice here, David didn't say they'd swallow us up quickly. He said they'd swallow us up quick. The word is alive. They'd swallow us whole. They'd eat us alive is what they would do. Now, that's going to be the nature of man forever. Man is always going to be violent, and just because that's just the nature of man. Our nature is a wicked, evil nature. It will always be violent. And the Lord allows some of that violence to go on. Now, He restrains some of it, doesn't He? But He allows some of it to go on, too. And when the Lord does that, and you know, when this, I wish I could remember this when this violence was and wrath was directed at me, but this is what we need to remember. When that is violence and that wrath is directed at us, the Lord's allowing that to happen. The Lord's bringing that that bringing that to pass on purpose, according to his eternal purpose. And it's for good. It's for good. Look at Psalm 76. The cross is a perfect example of that, isn't it? That man did exactly what man wanted to do. Everything men did to the Lord Jesus, they did exactly what they wanted to do, didn't they? Well, whose purpose was accomplished in all that? It wasn't theirs, was it? It was God's purpose. The cross is a perfect example of that. And the same truth holds to everything, absolutely everything, that happens to us in this life. Psalm 76, verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. The only wrath of man that God is going to allow to happen is what will praise him. And the rest of it he'll restrain. The Lord's the only one who's able to restrain the wrath of man that would eat us alive. So we pray, Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from the wrath of man that would destroy us. Second, we need to be delivered from getting caught up in the wrath of man and acting like them, adopting their ways in our religion. In our religion. Look back at our text here, Psalm 124, verse 4. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Now, man's religion is not good. I mean, people think, well, you know, any kind of religion is good for the community. Man's religion is not good. It's evil. It's evil. Man's religion, any religion that man has made up, is violently opposed to God. It's opposed to the God of the Bible. They oppose God in wrath and hatred for God. Now they love the God, the idol that they've made up, but they hate the sovereign God of the Bible. And man's religion is violently opposed to the message of salvation in Christ alone, by sovereign grace alone, by God-given faith alone. Man's religion is violently opposed to that. I mean, you just take the legs out of their religion. You know, their belief, what they believe is, well, you know, I'm saved because I decided for Jesus. I'm saved because I act better than everybody else. You just take the legs out from under that and see what you get. Oh, it's wrath. It is violently opposed to salvation in Christ alone, by God's sovereign grace alone, by God-given faith alone. And you think that that's not so? I mean, you think, well, maybe it used to be so. You think that's not so? That wrath is the very reason those men crucified the Lord of glory. And man's religion, or man's nature hadn't changed since then, from then till today. That wrath, that nature is why the early church suffered so greatly. That wrath and that violence is why Fox's Book of Martyrs is not a short story. Pretty thick book. Because of the wrath of man that hates the gospel of God. And if the Lord does not deliver us, we're going to get swallowed up in that. Now remember, the first thing we need to be delivered from is getting destroyed by it. Now I'm saying, if the Lord does not deliver from us from that, we're going to get swallowed up in it. We're going to get carried away in it and start acting just like them. You know, a person can get in those rushing waters and they just get swept away by them. We can do the same thing. You know, our society today is as mean-spirited and angry as I just can imagine that it ever has been. And we got to be careful not to let that societal just anger and division sweep us away into a religion that's mean-spirited, that's full of wrath and hatred, instead of God's grace. Oh, I pray the Lord will deliver us from getting caught up in that. And then thirdly, we need to be delivered from getting caught up in the wrath of man and acting like them in our attitude, adopting their attitude and conducting our lives the way that they do. Like I said a minute ago, this world is so angry. I mean, have you ever seen a time people are just angry all the time? And if they're not, they're looking for a reason to be angry. They're looking for a reason to be offended. And when something goes wrong, I mean, listen, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong in our society. I'm not saying there's nothing offensive in our society. But, you know, when something goes wrong, couldn't we just talk about it and fix it rather than get angry about it? I mean, do we really have to burn down city block after block after block to show our anger? And we think we're justified in doing this. We're justified destroying people's lives just because we're angry? I don't know about you all. I know about me and Jonathan. My mother spanked me when I was a little boy if I threw a temper tantrum. I mean, she made it her business to teach us, didn't she? Don't you throw a temper tantrum. Now, that's no. Why wouldn't we just put some of our energy into solving the problem rather than being angry about it? You know why? Our nature would rather be angry. We'd rather throw a temper tantrum than solve the problem. And this world thinks bigger, meaner, stronger, that's the people that get ahead. And I'll tell you, if the Lord doesn't deliver us from that, we're going to get swept away acting just like them in wrath and anger. Instead of acting in grace and love and waiting on the Lord. And if you look in James 1, James gives us some good instruction on this very matter. James chapter 1. Verse 18. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For, now you think your wrath is going to get something done? Look here. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So here's our prayer for deliverance. Deliver us from the wrath of man that would destroy us. Deliver us from being the object of the wrath of man. And deliver us from acting like them. Here in the church and in our personal lives, deliver us from being like that. Now here's the second part of our prayer. Our prayer for deliverance is worship and praise. Part of every prayer has got to include worship and praise. You can pray without asking for anything, really. But it's hard to pray without worship and praise, isn't it? Look here at verse 6 in our text. Psalm 124. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Now here's another thing we talk about being delivered from the wrath of man. This is the most important thing. When we talk about being delivered from the wrath of man, this is the most important thing we need to be delivered from. It's our sin. When we talk about the hateful nature of man, the thing I need to be delivered from the most is this man's hateful, wrathful nature. That's what we need to be delivered from. We need to be delivered from our sin, and we need to be delivered from the wrath of God. We've got to be delivered from the price God's holy justice demands for our sin. We must be delivered from that. If not, we'll spend eternity in hell. Now that's what the snare refers to. The snare of the fowler is a trap set to catch birds. You know, that's what a fowler does. He tries to catch birds. And here's why the snare of the trap works. It's the bait. The bait. Earl, you probably caught birds before just to shoot them or something, haven't you? I knew a man used to, Mike Marsh used to catch them. He'd shoot them and the dogs would go out there and hunt them or get them and stuff, train his dogs. Well, the snare or the trap works because of the bait. The fowler puts something in that trap that the bird likes. It entices that bird into that trap. And then the trap is sprung. And the bird can't get loose. See, the trap wouldn't work without the bait. The bait fools the bird. It promises the bird something good. But really, it gives it something bad by trapping it. Now, that is an outstanding description of sin. Sin promises things that are appealing to the flesh, but never gives it. It actually gives something that kills the flesh. That was Satan's first maneuver with Eve. Promising her life. Promising her something that was appealing to the flesh. Oh, you'll be your own God. Oh, you're going to be the one to make the rules here. Oh, you shall not surely die. Promise and life. Sounded appealing to the flesh. But sin didn't give any of that, did it? Sin actually gave man death. Sin didn't give man pleasure. It gave men torture and sorrow and sadness and sickness. Not pleasure. Sin gave men captivity. Not freedom. So we pray, Lord, deliver us from sin. Well, how does the Lord do that? And that's what David's talking about here. He's not talking about just being delivered from the wrath of man, you know, physically. He's talking about our soul. The waters going over our soul, the proud waters that go, how has our soul escaped? Well, number one, let me give you two ways. Number one, the Lord delivers his people through covenant grace. The psalm begins, now may Israel say, the Lord delivers Israel. The Lord delivers spiritual Israel, God's covenant people, from their sin. That's who he delivers. He delivers them because of his covenant grace. The Father chose a people to save in his covenant of mercy, covenant of grace. The Father promised he would save those people through the obedience and through the sacrifice of his Son. And God saves those people from their sin because he promised them he would do it. He promised to do it. His covenant mercies. And David said here, the Lord is on our side. When men rose up against us, the Lord's on our side. Well, who is the our? Oh, you are. Who's the our? Who's the us here? It's God's elect people. Those people that God chose to save. Now, God will save us. I don't care what the wrath of man is trying to accomplish. God will save us because he promised he would. Because he promised in his covenant grace. And number two, the Lord delivers his people from their sin through Christ, our substitute. David says here, it's the Lord, Jehovah, who took our side. The Lord took the side of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ became an ally of his people when he took on him our flesh. He took on him our nature so that he could be the representative of his people. And the Lord delivered his people from their sin. They're already trapped in the snare of sin. They're already trapped. The Lord delivered his people by taking their place in the snare. The Lord Jesus Christ took the sin of his people and he made it his. And then he took the place of his people in the prison house. The prison house of God's justice. The prison house of God's wrath. And he set his people free. And Christ, our substitute, took all of the punishment that the sin of his people deserved. He paid the price in full with his own precious blood. And now the snare is broken. The snare is broken because Christ delivered his people in justice. The snare is broken. It can never trap us again because Christ, our substitute, set us free in justice. And God's people are like that little bird that's been trapped in that snare and it's been set free. And that bird just soars up in the air, just praising and thanking our God. Earlier this year, I was out in our backyard, me and Janet, and Janet said, oh, would you look at that? And look, and there's this bird laying in our blackberry bushes and picked this perfect blackberry and off it flew. Well, I went and got me some bird netting. Put some bird netting over my blackberry bushes. And then bird, now listen, it's either me or them. I mean, one of the two of us can have them blackberries. And as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be me. Well, we were out on the porch the other day. And Janet said, oh. And this bird had landed on that bird netting. Was trapped. And it was so frightened and just flapping around. So just struggling so hard to get out. Now, it's them or me. But now my heart broke for that little bird. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can do something, you know, to set it free. And as I was walking up there, that bird broke free. And boy, it soared up in the air. It was just, I mean, you should have seen. It was so happy. I watched that bird in the air, and I thought, one day I'm going to fly away. So happy, just free. Oh, that is the life of a believer, isn't it? And that's the way we feel, just soaring through the air when we're reminded how the Lord has set us free from our sin. Now, we're free. God's people are free. But it seems to me like I spend more time trudging around down the mud than I do soaring up in the air. I don't know about you, that's the way I feel. But every once in a while, our Savior lets us soar high up in the air, rejoicing for the escape to the nations. Every once in a while, I mean, we truly worship. Every once in a while, the Lord just truly blesses His Word to our hearts, and we're like that little bird soaring in the air, free. Oh, the joy of being set free in Christ. So one act of worship is asking the Lord to deliver us. Now that's showing dependence. That's worshiping God. And our other act of worship is saying, blessed be God who set me free. Blessed be God who delivered me. That's giving God the credit. That's worshiping Him. And I say, just let me soar up to the rooftops and let me tell people, oh, it's like to hear how the Lord delivered me. Nobody else but our God could have delivered us from sin. And He has. That's what He's done. He promised He would do it, and that's exactly what He's done. Then let's brag on Him. Let's brag on Him. That's what these worship services are. They're just bragging on the Savior. Eric's going to Danville Sunday. You know what he's going to do? He's going to brag on the Savior, aren't you? Just brag on Him. That's worshiping our God. But it's interesting to me, David urges us to worship. Now we're that little bird that's been set free from the fowler's snare. And David urges us to worship. He urges us to give thanks for how the Lord delivered us. You wouldn't think that's necessary, would you? But it is. We murmur and complain automatically. I mean at the drop of a hat, don't we? We murmur and complain. Nobody's got to stir us up to complain. Nobody's got to remind us to complain. That comes real natural. But we've got to be stirred up to worship. We've got to be reminded to be thankful, don't we? And that's what David's doing. He said, be thankful and worship our God. He set us free. He set His people free. Now, we're free. God's people are free. But I want to tell you, you still have to be wary of the snares. This world is full of snares. I want to show you a couple of scripture mentions. Look at Psalm 9 first. There's some snares we need to be aware of. And pray that the Lord deliver us from. There's the snare of our good works. Scripture calls our good works a snare. Psalm 9, verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid as their own foot taken. They've fallen in and been taken by their own trap. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And then that word, hygeion, means think about that. Think about that, that the wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Now that's the way the heathen worship God, isn't it? It's by the work of their own hands, by their own doing, by their own deeds. And that religion, the work of your own hands, it promises life. Now, I'll grant you, if you can produce perfection, you'll be saved. I'll grant you that. The problem is we can't produce perfection. But this works religion, it promises life, but our works can only produce death. Because our works are sinful. The works of our hands are only sinful. But this is the bait. This is the bait. The work of our own hands. And our flesh is drawn to it. Our flesh just is drawn to, even for the believer, our flesh is drawn to this. I'd like to be rewarded for my works. I'd like to be rewarded for my faithfulness and my morality and my straight doctrine. That's the bait. The work of your own hands. And the believer's constant prayer is, Lord, deliver me from that. Deliver me from trusting in the works of my own hands. Deliver me from resting upon the arm of the flesh. And let me rest in Christ. Let me be delivered in Him. And then we say, blessed be the Lord who has delivered. He has delivered us, hasn't He, from the work of our own hands. That's worship. Next, look in Psalm 69. Next, we need to be delivered from the snare of the ceremony of religion without Christ. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Now you know who's speaking here, don't you? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking from the cross. He's praying from the cross. And he prays his Father that those who have rejected him be ensnared. That they be ensnared by their religious ceremony, their religious traditions without Christ. Religious ceremony without Christ. Now, it'll make the flesh feel better. Our flesh is religious. We're just having religious ceremony without Christ, that'll make the flesh feel better. But it will damn our souls. It will. You know, the table that he's talking about here is the Passover. You know, you can have the unleavened bread of the Passover. You can eat all the unleavened bread you want, but it won't do you any good without Christ. You can eat the meat of a lamb that's been roasted with fire, but it's not going to do you any good without Christ our Passover being sacrificed for us. See, you can go to hell hanging on to that doctrine. You can go to hell hanging on to that person with the picture. You can't go to hell hanging on to the person. I said that wrong. You can go to hell hanging on to that doctrine, that picture, if it's without Christ. So our constant prayer is, Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from the snare of the ceremony of religion. Don't let us just, this is something I say frequently, privately and publicly in prayer. God, deliver us from playing church. Deliver us from just playing church. Deliver me from just that ceremony and give me Christ in the heart. Don't let me trust in the ceremony that I did A, B, C, D right, you know, did all everything in the right order, and it's, you know, don't let me be impressed with the ceremony. Don't let me make me just feel good because the ceremony, the religious ceremony was so good. Let me worship Christ. Let me worship Christ. Let me know Christ. Let me hear of Christ. Let me partake of Him. Because listen, Christ is the issue. Christ is the issue. All the different political and societal things that have been issues over the course of my life, any of them really count a hill of beans. I mean, you know, we ought to treat people well. The most contrary thing to grace that I can think of is racism. And, you know, all these things. But I'm telling you now, the issue is Christ. Christ is the issue. Our prayer is, Lord, give me Christ. And then we say, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who's delivered us from this snare of religious ceremony without Christ and given us worship. Then third, we need to be delivered from what the Apostle Paul told Timothy is the snare of the devil. Now the snare of the devil has got to be the snare of sin, doesn't it? That promise of something good sin will give you, but it really doesn't. But it could also be the snare of personal pride, as opposed to depending on Christ. It could be the snare of the love of riches. And Paul said, that snare, the love of riches, it sweeps men away. It drowns them. It drowns them in destruction and perdition. It could be the snare of desiring the praise of men instead of desiring the praise of God. It could be the snare of despair rather than resting in Christ our Savior. All those things are the snare of Satan. It's just anything. The snare of Satan is anything you can think of that gets us looking away from Christ. Anything. I mean, you talk about the racial unrest that's in our society today. People of every skin color and every nationality absolutely should have equal justice under our law in the United States of America. Absolutely they should. But you can get so caught up looking at that and being taken up with that, you look away from Christ. See, it doesn't have to be the snare of Satan doesn't have to be a bad thing. It gets you looking at a good thing. The snare of Satan could be a real good job. And you think, oh, you know, I got to take this job. This is a promotion. This is, helps me take care of my family, you know. And I mean, there's nothing more scriptural than going out working hard, doing a good job. But now you get caught up in that and take you away from the gospel. It's the snare of the devil. See what I'm saying? Anything that gets us looking away from Christ is the snare of the devil. And there's just so many snares and traps. There's too many of them for us to mention that we fall into every last one of them if the Lord didn't deliver us. So we pray, Lord, deliver us. And then we worship by blessing the Lord who has delivered us. He's delivered us from every danger, toil, and snare we face so far. And delivers from every one. And I'm just confident of this. He'll keep delivering us from them until he's pleased to call us home. I'm confident of that. And that brings me to the third thing. Here's the third part of our prayer for deliverance. It's the declaration of our confidence and our reliance in our God. Verse 8 in our text, Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now here we prayed for deliverance, and we blessed God. We worshiped him for delivering us. And now we're going to say this is our confidence. Our confidence is in our God who made heaven and earth. I don't know what he'll be pleased to do, but I do know he's going to do what he purposed to do. I know he can deliver. Our confidence is in God who made heaven and earth. Our confidence is never in anything that we can do. Our confidence of help, our confidence of being delivered is in our God who's the creator. The creator. Our confidence is in the one who's created everything. Now, since he created it, he rules it, doesn't he? Our helper has the power to speak and create the world out of nothing. Then I believe he's got the power to control men in it, don't you? I believe he does. I believe he's got the power to control the wrath of man. And I believe he's got the power to control and keep his people. He's got to, if he's a creator, doesn't he? Our creator is our preserver, our deliverer. Then what do we have to fear? What do we have to fear? We don't have anything to fear. We really don't. God's people have nothing to fear. Yet we're still taught to pray for help and pray for deliverance. You know, acknowledge the danger that's around you. I mean, you're a fool if you don't. Acknowledge the danger that's around you. But don't become consumed with fear by it. Don't become consumed with it. I was telling somebody this the other day. Do you know, I never worry. This thought does never, ever crosses my mind. Never. This is one of the last things in this world I'm worried about. I am not worried about getting hit by a car. I'm not. But I look both ways every single time I cross the street. I mean, every single time. I look both ways. And I trust the Lord to carry me across the crosswalk. You just apply that to everything. The sin that's not just in this world, but the sin that's in you. The sin that just the Lord shows you just a little bit of it, frightens you to death. Don't make excuses for it. Don't pretend it's not there. But don't be overcome with fear of it. Our Savior's delivered us from it. He's delivered us from it. And then the evil that's in this world just gets more evil and evil and evil and evil by the day. Acknowledge it. Beware of that. I was talking to Brother John Chapman the other day. He said, I'll tell you one thing's changed in our life. He said, these protests, he said, there's certain places I do not go anymore. That's just smart, isn't it? That's just smart. But don't be overcome with fear by it now. Our God's in control. Our Creator made heaven and earth. Now I want to give you something here. Charles Spurgeon said, I think you'll like this. He made heaven for us and he'll keep us for heaven. He made the earth, and he'll succor us upon it until the hour cometh for our departure. That's our God, the creator of heaven and earth. And that confidence can only come from knowing and trusting our God, from trusting Christ, our deliverer. And that confidence will help the traveler. Now, you know there's dangers along the way, don't you? We need to pray for deliverance and danger along the way. But that confidence, knowing God, will help you travel through this life with caution, but confidence. Caution, but confidence. All right. Well, I hope the Lord bless that to you. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this blessed psalm we've been able to look into this evening. We make this our prayer for deliverance. Oh, our God, would you be pleased to deliver your people. Deliver us from sin, from not just the sin of this world, but we do pray for that, to be delivered from the wrath of man. But Father, deliver us from our indwelling sin, our nature of wrath and hatred. Deliver us. Oh, deliver us. And how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has delivered his people from the snare of the fowler. It's broken, and we can never be trapped by sin or the law or justice ever again, because Christ our Redeemer has set us free. And we're confident that it's the same power, the same Savior, that'll bring us safely home. Father, give us the faith to truly believe in Christ our Savior and truly rest in Him. Give us the grace not to get so wound up about all the events that are going on in the world around us. And keep us constantly reminded to look away from those things and look to Christ, to find in Him our hope, our peace, our confidence, our joy, our salvation. Enable us to rest in Him. Father, we thank you for all your many blessings to us. And as we go back now to our homes and finish our week, we pray that you'd watch over and preserve and protect your people and bring us back Sunday, if it could be thy will, to one more time hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his blessed name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.